James chapter 1, and we are going to start at verse number 19. James chapter 1, starting at verse number 19. James chapter 1 and verse 19. And notice what the Word of God says here in this context. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now keep your place there. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Listening to the Word of God. Listening to the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, I praise you now this morning for the power of your Word. And thank you for the opportunity that we have to look in, as your word says it right here to us, to the perfect law of liberty, and help us to be hearers of it. Help us to listen. Also help us to be doers of your word. And may our attitude this morning as we look into your word be one of Mary of old when she said that whatever he saith unto you, do it. And may that be our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I read about a lady who decided that she wanted to try ice fishing. So she went out and cut a hole in the ice. Just then she heard a loud voice say, "There are no fish under the ice." Amazed at hearing a voice speaking to her, she wondered if God was speaking. She finally convinced herself she probably imagined hearing the voice, so she tried drilling another hole in another spot. Again, she heard the voice, "There are no fish under the ice." So she asked, "Is that you, God?" To which she heard the reply, "No, this is the ice rink manager." You see, sometimes we have difficulty listening. Sometimes we have difficulty hearing. And listening to God can be problematic because of all the noises going on in our lives. It wasn't that long ago, as you know, that we weren't as connected as we are now. And I'm not against that. I'm just saying, boy, do you realize how connected we are today? You can be on Instagram, you can be on Twitter, you can be on Facebook, and whatever else is out there. There is just a lot of connectivity. And some of you are old school. You have one of these things called a flip phone. You can't even text on the thing. But you just love that old flip phone. But nonetheless, we are a connected society. But when you think about it, when it comes to this area of listening to God, such a thing, believe it or not, can become problematic because we really need to drown out the other voices so that we can hear God speak to us through His Word. And one area we need to really train ourselves in to hear from God is through His Word, either through preaching or through the personal reading of the Word of God. I advocate, obviously, both. I think we need to listen to the Word of God through preaching, whether it be through me or through the week. You listen to other good, solid Bible teachers and preachers, but then also listening to God through His Word on your own, opening up God's Word, letting Him speak to your heart and to your life. In fact, the average sermon is 40 minutes in length. And if you listen to three sermons on a Sunday for a year, get this now, you would have listened to 100 hours of preaching. just curious, how many of you remember what I preached last Sunday? Don't feel bad, I don't either. But no, I do. I preached last week on temptation. But just think about that. If you've listened to 100 hours of preaching, and the statistic is this, that if you live to be 80 and spend 60 years in church, you would have listened to 6,000 hours of preaching. Now that's a lot of sermons. That's a lot of preaching that you have listened to through the years. Now, as I think about this, by way of introduction, I think about how there are different kinds of listeners while preaching is going on. I wish you could see what I see standing here looking out on you. I'm telling you, I see all kinds of things going on. And you have to really train yourself as the preacher not to be distracted by it. Somebody, this has happened a couple years ago, they asked me after service, did you hear so-and-so snoring? No, I mean, I'm serious. I guess it was a lot of people had heard so-and-so snoring. And nope, I just tune all of that out. The only thing that really can be distracting is like a new baby in the service and the baby's crying. Other than that, I don't get that distracted while I'm preaching. But it is interesting standing from this viewpoint, looking out among you and seeing the different kinds of listeners. For instance, there are what I call the intellectual listeners. These are the ones that are taking notes. They are really wanting to write down what either I or a special guest is preaching about, and they just are writing it down. They go home and they look at it and learn from it and so forth. Then there is that critical listener. They only are here to find something that they can hear to criticize. And there are those critical listeners. Then there's the sample listener. They just kind of like in and out, you know, give me a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Then there is that entertainment listener. Like, just amuse me. Tell some funny jokes, all this kind of stuff, you know. I just want to be entertained. Then there is the observant listener, where they are just, as they are, quote, listening, they're just looking around and seeing what other people are doing. This is why some people like to sit in the back so they can watch what everybody else is doing. Two reasons why I don't sit in the back unless I absolutely have to. One, my short stature. I don't want to have to be doing this, looking over someone's tall head. And then the second and more important reason is if I sit up here, there's less distraction. I don't have to see people getting up and down, all that business. But anyway, there are those observant listeners. Then there's that organizer listener, and I guarantee you there's probably someone just like that here this morning. What is an organizer listener? They're the person that's, quote, listening and planning their week while I'm preaching. I mean, short-term planning, like, man, I came to church hungry. I hope this is a short message. I want to get to a restaurant somewhere. They're already thinking about what they want. There are those kind of listeners. Then there's the Pharisaical listener. This is the person that says, I'm sure glad so-and-so is here because they sure needed to hear what was preached today. You laugh at that, but I tell you, a few years ago, I had a gentleman in our church, and he would walk out, shake my hand, and these are his exact words. Boy, I hope the people in there got something out of that message today. Struck me as funny the first time I heard it. And I, quite frankly, I responded by saying, well, I hope they did too. And then he come back and he did it again the next Sunday. Now it's beginning to bother me. Probably shouldn't let it bother me, but it was bothering me. Then he did it again the next Sunday. I thought, all right, that's it. The next time he says that to me, I've got a response. My response to him the next time he said it was this. I said, sir, I don't know what they're going to do about it, but what are you going to do about it? You know what? He never made that statement to me again when he walked out the door. Because the truth of the matter is, though, there can be those kind of Pharisaical listeners who are just there to I hope Joel's getting this, or I hope Elaine's getting this. Boy, she really needs it. Those are those pharisaical listeners. Then there's one more, and that's what they call the bored listener. Here's the bored listener. Watch. Do I have to be here today? It's usually teenagers that do it. These teenagers aren't doing it. But man, they just kind of kick back. And, you know, like, do I have to be here? Mom and Dad drug me here. Man, I can't wait till this is over. Bored listeners. I don't know where you fall in this. I guess there's one more I could give you, and that's what I call just a hungry listener, close to the intellectual listener. They just want to come. They want to soak it up. They want to learn. They just can't get enough. They're just the kind of listener we ought to be. And so we need to properly prepare ourselves to listen to the Word of God, either through the preaching of the Word or through the personal reading of the Word of God in our own life. But we prepare ourselves to be able to hear the Word of God. And so notice with me some points this morning that will help us in this area. Notice with me, if you would, first of all, that we need to be pure. This is what we do before the sermon. What we do before the sermon is to be pure. Look at verse number 21 now, and notice what it says. Well, start at verse 19 again. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, you take that word, that very verse on its own, I think that would be a good verse for all of us to practice, don't you? How many of you think we just need to be quicker to listen than to talk? And we probably keep ourselves out of trouble. But that said, he's saying here that we need to be swift to hear. We need to be swift to listen. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And so here he is saying, what I want you to do as you prepare yourself to hear the Word of God, that you need to be pure. You need to be right, if you would. You need to lay aside, as he says here, lay apart all filthiness. Now, laying apart, it has the idea of speaking of putting off dirty clothes to get yourself clean and put on some new clothes. And he says here, lay apart, put it aside, all filthiness here, he says. Now, this word filthiness is an interesting word. It is a word that came to refer to wax in the ear. Someone told me a real gross story this week. They were telling me about somebody who was really having hard time hearing, and they went to the doctor, and this person's ears were just full of wax. And as the doctor was cleaning out the ears, I know this is gross, but they said a worm-like thing came out of their ear. Ugh. Like, man, when was the last time you cleaned your ears? But anyway, that's the idea here. It came to refer to having wax in your ears, laying apart all filthiness. I read about a man that somebody had come up to him and said, say, you've got a carrot in your ear. He said, huh? He said, you got a carrot in your ear. Huh? Can't hear you. He said, you got a carrot in your ear. The man said, I can't hear you. I've got a carrot in my ear. Well, sometimes in our life, we have the carrots in our ears where we got to remove the wax. We got to put aside some things so that we can listen. Notice now, same verse, he talks about the superfluity of naughtiness. What does that mean? That basically means the overabundance of evil. Hey, some good news. The groundhog did not see his shadow, so spring is coming early. Amen? Good. So, well, guess what that means for some of you? What's that? No, Bob. Doesn't mean six more weeks of winter. It means spring is coming, it's around the corner, and for some of you, that means you'll be tilling up your ground, you're going to be planting the crops, you're going to be planting a garden. And the idea of all that is this, that if you think about your garden, if you just let it go after you plant the seeds, it's going to be overcome with what? It's going to be overcome with weeds. And that is the meaning here. He says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Don't allow your life to become overgrown with weeds. He says you're not going to be able to listen to God. You're not going to be able to hear from God through His Word if your life is just overcome with the weeds in your life. So He says, lay apart all of these things. Keep your place here and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Here's what the Word of God states for us. Having therefore these promises, the promises that are listed for us in verse 17 and 18 of chapter 6, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, since God is our Father, He is saying, I want to draw near to you. I want you to draw near to me. But in order for you to draw near to me, you need to perfect holiness in not only your flesh, but also in your spirit. You see, many times as Christians, look this way. Here's what we're good at doing. We are good at making the outside look good. You with me? We lead somebody to Christ and we'll tell them, hey, you need to do this, and maybe wear this and not wear this and not do this and do this and so forth, and we'll give them a list that deals a lot with the externals. But do you know sometimes what we really miss, which is just as important, according to this verse, what? We need to work on perfecting holiness and the fear of God within our spirit. Because, quote, I can look like a Christian, smell like a Christian, but if my spirit is wrong, that's wrong. And so I have to have a right spirit about me, and that's what David had prayed in the Psalms when he said, Lord, renew a right spirit within me because my spirit isn't right, but I need you to renew a right one within me. And so with all of that, we see here in James chapter 1 that we need, if we're going to listen to God through His Word, we need to be pure. Be pure. What is in your life that possibly needs to be laid aside so that you can hear from God? The second thing that we must do, and that is this, is that we must be teachable. Look now at verse number 21. Excuse me. Be teachable. Look at the last phrase of the verse. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. So when we come to the Word of God, either on a personal level as far as just reading it on our own, or we are listening like we are this morning, we need to have a teachable spirit about us. Because He says, receive with meekness. That has the idea of having a spirit of humility about us. It has the idea of not saying something like this, I've heard this before, and tune out. I remember doing that in college one time, and the Holy Spirit of God really convicted me about it. The pastor of the church had an evangelist come in, and the meeting was billed as a revival meeting. Now, when I think of revival, I think many times it deals with the Christians, right? Most of you with me on that? It's not dealing with unsaved. People do get saved during revivals, but usually when I think about revivals, I think about the preaching that will deal with the unsaved. Every sermon that week was strictly a gospel message. And man, I was having a bad spirit. It wasn't that what he was preaching was wrong, it was spot on. But I was hungry for some preaching that was going to deal with the Christian life. And this evangelist that week just didn't do that. He preached gospel messages and people got saved. But you know what the Holy Spirit of God did not too far into that meeting in my own life? He convicted me and said, you know, you've got a wrong spirit here. You ought to be rejoicing that a man is preaching about the gospel of Jesus Christ and rejoice that that God has saved you and that Jesus is your Savior. And man, I went forward that night not to get saved, I was already saved, but just to say, Lord, I repent. I have a wrong spirit And you know what? The rest of that week was great for me. Why? Because even though, quote, I already had my salvation nailed down, even though I'd heard these salvation messages many times, I was now in a frame of mind to have a good spirit to hear from God through His Word, even though it was something I had already heard. I remember my English teacher in high school said this. And I graduated from a Christian school, but she said this: no matter how boring a preacher is, you can always get something out of it if you come to it with the right spirit. Boy, that stuck with me. Because even as a senior in high school, you know the kind of guys I like coming in? Those that hit the pulpit, those that would shout, those that would get in your face. Those guys that would just come in and kind of talk. I thought, man, when's this going to get over? You with me? Wrong spirit on my part. I wasn't being teachable. But man, when she said that, again, that changed me, because that's what I needed to hear. I needed to hear that I needed to be teachable regardless of what the vessel is. If God's man is preaching the Word of God, whether it's loud or whether it's just in monotone, if he's preaching the truth, you can get something out of it. And so James says you have to have a spirit of meekness to receive the engrafted Word, having the teachable spirit. I want you to go to the Old Testament. Go to Psalms for a moment. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, as you know, is a book that deals, or a chapter, that it's the longest chapter in the Word of God. And all it deals with in Psalm 119, it's all about the Word of God. And we find 9 times, I'm not going to read it to you, but I just want you to get a sense of this. 9 times in Psalm 119, the psalmist cries out, "Teach me, teach me, teach me." Now notice what he says in Psalm 119, verse 12. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." Verse 26. "I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes." One more, verse 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end." And you continue on, and he says this 6 more times in Psalm 119. 9 times he says, "Teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me." And that is the kind of prayer we ought to have, whether we're in a church service or on our own with the Word of God in our hands. We are crying out, "Lord, teach me. Give me understanding. Show me. I want to learn. I'm hungry. I want to learn more of you." And here in this context of Scripture, he is saying back here in James that we are to receive the Word with meekness, which is able to save our souls. So what are we to do before we read the Word of God or we hear the Word of God? We need to be pure. We need to be teachable. Now look at verse 22 in James chapter 1. We need to be obedient. We need to be obedient. Look now what he says. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway, or immediately, forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Sometimes Christians get hung up on, why am I not being blessed like so-and-so is? But sometimes it's this. I'm not saying this across the board, but sometimes it's this. So-and-so is probably being blessed because they are listening and being obedient to the truth. Where someone else may just be listening to the truth, but they're not being obedient to the truth. The Bible says these two are joined together. When you listen and you obey, and he says, this person, this man, shall be blessed in his deed. So we come to the Word of God, with a spirit that says, I not only want to be pure, I not only want to be teachable, but I want to be obedient to the Word of God, that whatever He says to me, I'm going to do it. Now think about this. On your personal daily Bible reading, whether it's 5 minutes or 15 minutes, it matters not, but do you come with an attitude that says, I'm going to learn, I'm going to listen, I'm going to obey. I don't want to be just a hearer of the Word. I want to be a doer of the Word. I want to be obedient to the Word of God. Because you see, I think we need to have the prayer of Samuel of old. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Now, I'm not going to add to the Word of God, but listen to me carefully. But I think we need to also have a prayer like this. Not only do I come to hear, Lord, I want to come and not only listen, but I want to obey. What do you want me to do? Because when we come to the Word of God, we're not to just listen to it. Think about if those statistics are true. If you just come 3 hours a week this year and listen to the Word of God preached, you'll listen to over 100 hours of preaching. Think about that. What are you going to do with it? This year, our theme being forward. Think about that challenge alone. Will you move forward this year in your Christian life? You will if you decide, I am going to obey the Word of God. Here in this context, he says, you come to the Word of God, you look into the perfect law of liberty. I love that phrase. Because Jesus says, if you shall know the truth will do what? It'll set you free. There's nothing more liberating than the Word of God. You and I are living testimonies of how the Word of God sets people free. We are. Somebody showed us the Word of God. Somebody told us that we were lost through the Word of God. Someone told us the answer, what we could do. We cried out and said, Lord, save me. That was all in direct contact to the Word of God. The Word of God sets people free. It liberates. And we find in this passage of Scripture, he says, as you look into that perfect law of liberty, and you continue therein, then this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now I want you to notice, continue in James 1 with me. You know you are being obedient to the truth because it will show up in 3 areas in your life. Now stay with me, stay with the text, and notice what the Word of God says here. How do I know I'm being obedient to the truth? 1, it will show up in my speech. Look what he says now in verse number 26. If any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So I know I'm being obedient to the Word of God through my speech. When I can allow the Word of God to really sink deep into my heart and into my life, and I am not being deceived, but I'm really wanting to go God's way, it's going to affect my speech, how I talk, the language, the words that I use. It's going to show up there. Go with me, if you would, to back a few pages in your Bible. Go to the book of Colossians for a moment, would you? The book of Colossians, I want you to see here in chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3. He talks about here in chapter 3 of Colossians about putting off and putting on. And the connotation is like, again, using the dirty clothes illustration. You take off the old clothes, you put on new clothes. And he says, now I want you to put off certain things. And notice what he says now in chapter 3 of Colossians. Start with me at verse number 8. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Oh man, when you think about this, verse number 8, you have to ask yourself, well, what does the Bible mean when it says filthy communication? Quickly answer me. What comes to your mind when you read that? filthy communication. What is filthy? What's that? Cursing. It's very common for us as Christians to go there. We think that's what the filthy communication is. But is that all there is? And the answer is no. Because you could be someone that never curses in your life after you're saved. But can you still misuse your tongue? And the answer is yes. You could misuse your tongue by gossip. Boy, I just got to tell you something. Let me just tell you this. I mean, it's a prayer request, but let me tell you. Huh? Well, you know how many times gossip gets put under the umbrella of prayer request? Boy, a lot of times. Things that just don't need to be said, but hey, let's pray about this. And that's just as wrong as someone cursing. And the idea is, like you could, with your spouse, do you know you can take your words and hurt your spouse? I know you know this. I've done it. Someone said, I think it was Tina the other day, that women are from where? I don't know. I can't remember. But, yeah, women are from Venus and men are from Mars. Yeah, a lot of difference between us men and women. How many of you husbands, come on now, guys, don't be embarrassed. How many of you said the right thing to your wife the wrong way? Come on. Yeah. Yeah, I have. Oh, great, man. I've done it. More than I care to say it, but we have to see what I'm saying is there's a lot of ways we can misuse this little member in our mouth. We can think, well, man, I'm a good Christian because I don't curse. That may be. Glad you don't curse. I don't think Christians should curse. But that said, you can misuse your tongue in other ways. So when you go back here to James chapter 1, he is saying that if you can't bridle your tongue, you are deceiving your own heart and your religion is in vain. How do I know I'm being obedient? Because it's going to affect how I talk. Secondly, it's going to show up in my relationships. Go back to James chapter 1, look at verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. So now, if I'm being obedient to the Word of God, it's going to touch my relationships. In this context, primarily, it's going to influence how I treat those that are fatherless and those that are widows. And church, this has still been given a charge to the church to take care of its widows in its church. That's still and I think we do a pretty good job at this. The deacons and I try to stay abreast of this. And when we know of needs within our church, whether it be a widow or not, we try to help out where we can. But I tell you, that's true religion. That's somebody that says, hold it. This is real to me. And when I see somebody that's down and out, when I see someone that's fatherless, or when I see a widow in need, we're going to be there. We're going to really care for them. Go with me, if you would, to the book of 1 John. 1 John, and look in chapter 3 for a moment. 1 John chapter 3. And come with me now, if you would, to verse number 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life by abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now catch this next verse. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Next verse. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, here is how we know we're being obedient to the Word of God. When God has blessed you and you have the ability to help a brother in need, you will meet the need, or you will assist to meet the need. That's pure religion. That's pure Christianity. That's saying, hold it, I'm being obedient to the truth in my relationships. I see somebody, whether it's in the church or out of the church. And I had a lady this past week. I was at Meijer store, and she was checking out, and I normally wouldn't do this, but I felt led of the Spirit to do it. She says, do you have $10? I says, ma'am, I don't have $10, but all I have in my wallet is $5. Well, she says, she told me what the need was, and I helped her out with it. Again, I necessarily wouldn't normally do that. I'd like to do a little bit of research because there's so many people out there just trying to rip you off. So if she ripped me off, so be it. But I felt good, if you would, in my own spirit that I helped somebody that said they needed help. Now, someone who is not being obedient to the truth and being led of the Spirit, when an opportunity like that comes, says, nope, 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 nope. You're not getting my money. And I realize, again, there's scam artists out there. I get all of that, but I tell you, James is teaching here that we are being obedient to the truth when we see our brother in need and we have the ability to help him, we help him. And sometimes, by the way, I know you know this, but sometimes it's not just by money that we help people. Sometimes it's just by providing a meal. Sometimes it may be doing something else for them outside the arena of just giving them money. But having said that, we see in this context, we are being obedient to the truth. And how do we know it? It shows up in our relationships. Then it shows up in one other area. Notice this now. When we are living godly lives. Look at this, verse 27. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Okay, so now, you and I have been saved out of this world system. Satan is no longer our God, little g. Jesus is our Savior. God is our Father. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And now we have been charged in this life we are living in to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Wow, the world wants to throw its spots on us. It wants to just bring us down. God wants to bring us up. And he says here in this context, keep yourself unspotted from the world. And the world, the society in which we are living in, I know you know this, but listen carefully, it is not a friend of grace. My heart and my prayer this week, I can't help but mention this. When in the state of New York, the legislators applaud an abortion bill where you can kill the baby. You heard about this, didn't you? It's sad. It's heart-wrenching. Well, that's not bad enough. Then the Virginia legislature, praise God, there the Republican side of that legislature stopped a bill that was trying to be passed similar to what was going on in New York. And my prayer was, oh God, be merciful to this country. We're losing our mind. Where we can kill babies, not only at the front end, but at the tail end of this. What in the world is going on? We know what's going on. We're living in a society that is turning more and more away from God. And here we are in Little Gaines Township trying to live for God, be salt and light in this world. We need to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Not be like the world, but to be more like our Lord. That's when I know I'm being obedient to the truth. When I'm keeping myself unspotted from the world. So let me wrap this up with you this morning. When we come to the Word of God, whether we are listening to it through a sermon or reading it personally, how do we listen? We must be pure. We must be teachable. And we must be obedient. If you are in darkness today, the Lord will give you light through His Word. If you are in doubt today, the Lord will give you light through His Word. If you are living in defeat today, the Lord will give you light through His Word and help you to live in victory. The songwriter wrote, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His Word. Just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh for grace to trust Him more." Some today need to cry out, "Lord, give me a fresh love for Your Word. Give me a fresh love for Your Word." And some today need to say, "Lord, help me to remove things in my life that I may hear from You through Your Word." Help us, God, to be teachable. Today, how well are You listening? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, now, in my own life, I want to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer. But in order for me to do, I must hear. And so true for the church congregation this morning. It's hard to obey if we don't know what we're doing, what You want us to do. And so, Father, this morning, help people to have a keen ear to You, to Your Word, when the Word is being preached, when the Word is being read on our own, that we'll have a hunger to learn, that we'll have a right spirit about us, and that we would have also an obedient spirit. Help people now is my prayer in Jesus' name, not their heads bowed. Would there be those here this morning who would say, "Pastor, in my life, I truly want to hear from God through His Word. And this morning, I realize in my life that I have just lost, if you would, a love for the Word. And today, I want to ask God to renew that spirit of love for His Word in my life, and that I will have an insatiable desire to really read it, to hear from God. And I would that you remember me in prayer, Pastor. This is my need in my life." Would you lift your hand up, rub your hat, just lift it up. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Is there somebody else this morning? Said, "God has spoken to my heart. I really want to have a renewed love for God's Word. A renewed love for it. I don't want to just bring it with me on Sunday, put it aside for the rest of the week and pick it back up. I want to be into it every day. I want to read it. I really want to learn." Anybody else? Just lift your hand up. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else this morning? Say, "Yes, God's touched my heart about this. I really need to be in His Word more. I really need to have a renewed sense of love for His Word." Anybody else while we wait? And this morning, it may be that in your life, there's just some things that need to be remove from your life. Just as the text said this morning, lay aside some things in your life. If you would, get the wax out of your ears so that you can hear from God through His Word. The Holy Spirit of God has been searching your heart in that area this morning, been putting His thumb on some things in your life that need to be removed. Then today, repent of that and remove it from your life so that you can clearly hear from God. And now, Father, I commit the balance of this invitation to You. There are those in this congregation this morning who You have touched their heart and they want to have a renewed love for Your Word. Oh, Father, may that really take place in their life this week. May they just have an insatiable desire to just learn more and more of You. And may they also be obedient to that which they read. For those precious souls this morning, Father, in this congregation that need to just lay aside some things in their life, if you would, to remove the wax in their life so that they can hear. Father, help them to do business with you this morning. Lay aside some things so that they can hear from you clearly. So work in hearts, Father, is my prayer now in Jesus' name.